Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the DS Smith conference call. My name is Faye, and I'll be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you'll be on listen only. However, at the end, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to your host, Miles Roberts, to begin. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you very much for taking the time to attend this call. I'm Miles Roberts, I'm the Group CEO, and I'm joined on the call by Adrian Marsh, the Group Finance Director. I'd like to run through two issues today. Firstly, the proposed acquisition of Durapac, and secondly, an update on current trading. So I'm referring to the presentation that's been sent out, proposed acquisition of Durapac. So as you know, our ambition is to continue to lead the recycled corrugated packaging industry. Packaging has never been more relevant to our customers, and it's an ideal time for us to continue to develop our business. Mm-hmm. And this acquisition is a further important step in the delivery of that strategy. The acquisition of Durapac, who are the market leader in Southeast Europe, is a highly complementary business to ours, and I'll talk more about that later. It gives us immediate scale in this region and, very importantly, access to a new customer base, as well as providing additional services to our current customer base. The acquisition is for approximately €300 million, will be funded from debt facilities, and this represents a multiple of 7.3 times EBITDA on the last 12 months. It'll be immediately EPS accretive, but very importantly, will come above our cost of capital in the second year of ownership and will go on to achieve financial returns fully in line with our previously stated medium-term targets. So turning to the next slide, we'll see just what an excellent geographic fit it is with our existing business. It overlaps with our current business in Austria, Czech and Hungary, where we already have good, well-performing businesses. And it gives us an excellent position in other countries where they currently enjoy a number one or number two status. This region enjoys higher growth than the average for the rest of Europe. The outlook for the coming years is for the economies to grow at 2.6% per annum, but very importantly, the consumption of corrugated per person, per capita, is considerably less than half the average for the rest of the European Union. The combination of these two, we believe, provide a great platform for future growth. It has a long corrugated, short paper position, which is important to us. This short paper position gives us flexibility to supply our customers with the packaging they need, not merely to fill up mills that we have. And it has a good recycling position. And again, an area that we feel we can significantly grow and develop to bring the recycling rates in this region up to those of the rest of Europe. It expands our pan-European footprint, not only enabling us to supply our existing customers, but to start to service customers in that region. And this will all be supported by a continual rollout of our design centres, which are so well received by our customers. So turning to the next slide on the financial rationale. We can see that the sales are €273 million in 2014, which gives a return on sales of 8.1% and an EBITDA margin of 15%. We've had very good access to this business over a prolonged period, and the assets are well invested, and we don't see any any bubbles of capex needed in the future. On the synergies, we're talking about 12 million of cost synergies, mainly around operation improvements, procurement and distribution. These have all been built up from the access we have, plus also rely on the strengthened group functions that we've built over the last few years. They will cost about 13 million euros to achieve, but this will all be funded by improvements in working capital of a similar amount that we've also identified. So as I said previously, it's immediately EPS accretive. Return on capital will be in excess of the cost of capital by the second year. In terms of competition, because it's the majority of it's in the new region, we don't foresee there being any significant issues here, and we expect to obtain this clearance towards the end of Q2 in 2015, and completion will take place shortly afterwards. In terms of the confidence and integration, as I've said previously, we've had good access to this business. We've had extensive discussions with all of the management there, how it's structured, their processes, and this will be integrated by the same teams that integrated SCA Packaging and O'Tor as well, a highly experienced team. So turning to the current trading. The volume performance over the 3 months to the end of January has been very good. It's been ahead of the H1 run rate. It's been positive in all regions. And Central Europe, it really has been very strong indeed, as well as in Italy. The reaction to the rollout of our design centres has been absolutely tremendous, so we're delighted with that. And this is reinforced by our message on the importance of packaging to our customers, helping them sell more product through the retail chain, taking out cost and reducing risks. We continue to manage our asset base. We've also completed the disposal of the Nantes paper mill. That's been sold. But again, the customer reaction to the Andopack acquisition, the business we bought in Spain a few months ago, has been absolutely tremendous. We're delighted with the performance there. So you can see how we continue to manage our asset base. Over the last few years, we sold Spices, the office products business. We sold the non-core assets of SCA, raising over 100 million euros. We sold foam businesses in plastics. We're selling paper assets. But at the same time, we've bought O'Tor in France, SCA Packaging, Andopack Packaging, and now we hope to acquire Durapack. All about how we continue to improve the asset base from which we earn our returns. So with all of that, our outlook remains positive. Our performance has been in line with our medium-term targets, despite the mixed economic conditions, and that gives us confidence for the future. That ends our short presentation this morning. Now, myself and Adrian will be very happy to take any questions people have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. And our first question is from the line of David O'Brien from Goodbody. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Just a couple from me, please. Firstly, just on the 8% margin of this business, could you put that in context of where it kind of trades historically? Are we at the upper end of the bound? And, you know, with such deals and obviously returns on paper look very good, is there now upside to your 12 to 15% ROCE target or your own kind of return on sales targets in the next couple of years? And is there potential disposals of any of the paper mills within the business as well?
So, Adrian, do you want to take the the question on the return on sales and our medium term targets.
Sure. In terms of getting good visibility on the return on sales, David, I mean, clearly the business has been going over the last few years through a number of restructurings and reworked as the company is looking to dispose of it. From having run through the deep due diligence, we're very comfortable where the returns are, the margin they're getting and how they're getting there. We don't think that on a comparable basis it's necessarily at the upper end nor at the lower end. We think it's a reasonable margin being achieved in a competitive environment still. I mean, the advantage the business has is the locations where they're in and the market positions it's got. So we're quite happy about that.
And in terms of the paper mills, the number of paper mills this business has been reduced significantly over the last few years. We feel the assets they have there are fit for purpose, and we're not foreseeing any immediate requirements to reduce the paper capacity in this business. When we turn to ourselves, we constantly review all of our assets, and at any one time we'll be looking to see how they fit going forward, and if we find that isn't the case, then we'll be looking to dispose of them or close them down, and those reviews are ongoing.
Great. And maybe just one final one, just in terms of focus of the customer base, is it very much in line with DS Smith in terms of an FMCG focus, or what is the breakdown?
Well, just in terms, as you go further east, there's less straight in FMCG, and there's more of a light industrial bias. So if you go back to the original part of DS Smith, we were over 70% FMCG. That really just mimics the sorts of economies that we're in. And as you go further east, it comes down to more than 50-50. However, the market shares that this business enjoys, we think we can grow the FMCG business quite considerably, exactly as we continue to do with the SCA and that O'Toole business. So we feel very confident about that. We do have to improve that proportion, and we're looking to take that from the market share.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And our next question is from the line of Alexander Mees from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, Miles and Adrian. Three brief questions, please. The first one with regard to your customers. Have you engaged with your customers about this acquisition at this stage? And if you have, what's been their reaction? The second is around the synergies. I wonder if you could just put into context the size of the synergy opportunity compared to your acquisition of SCA and O'Toole. And when there's any reason that you would expect ultimately the synergies to be significantly higher or lower than those. And then just thirdly, on the trading update, clearly you've had quite a significantly adverse FX movement over the course of the year. And given the size of that headwind, we haven't seen consensus numbers come down significantly. If consensus is more or less correct, then to what do you attribute the improvement in the underlying business, please?
Look, if I ask Alex on the customers, an agent will take you up on the synergies and the FX in the trading update. So just in terms of customers, it's obviously very difficult to talk to any customer about a potential acquisition. It's just because of confidentiality. However, we have extensive discussions, reviews with all of our major customers on a regular basis. And in these discussions, it's absolutely clear from them about their desire for us to continue growing. So when we bought into Spain, their reaction was absolutely tremendous. They want a different offering there, and we're able to give it to them. In Eastern Europe and Italy and in the DACH region, we've had tremendous growth out of the SCA acquisition. Now, we recently announced an acquisition, or a proposed acquisition, in Greece and Turkey, and again, the customer reaction is very strong. So we'll be talking to our customers today. In fact, there's communication happening now to our existing customer base about what it means, how we're going to continue rolling out our unique approach, and I've no doubt at all there'll be a tremendous amount of support coming to us. Adrian, the synergies and trading update?
Yeah, in terms of synergies, I think they're around about 4% of sales, Alex. If you look at SCA and you look at OTOR, from announcement to realisation, I mean, it's right within those ranges as well. So we're very confident. We know what we're doing. The team are the same. We're looking, obviously, at procurement. We're looking at operating in line with DS Smith best practice and ways of working. And we're obviously looking at operational efficiency as well. So the number we've declared, based on the due diligence we've done to date, we think is robust, stands up to previous acquisitions, and we're very confident of delivery on that. In terms of underlying trading, well, we've seen good volumes. We're happy with where that's progressing. Of course, FX continues to be a disappointing outcome for us in terms of how we translate our substantial overseas operations back into sterling. But in terms of the underlying business, I mean, the front end's operating very well. We're getting good traction in terms of the customers that we're looking to operate with. We've had the SCA synergy benefits falling through. We're seeing the continuation of the improvement in the UK from the Kemsley turnaround plan. So everything that we've had that's been within our gift, certainly within the corrugated packaging side, we're quite happy with where performance is. But we're having to fight extremely hard to keep our head above water at the level of growth we want to on a translated basis. That there's no doubt about. But we'll clearly when we get to the full year, we can give you full colour on everything. But at the moment, underlying in continental Europe, we've got volume growth. We've got the benefit of activities we've taken to manage our cost base and look at optimising our efficiency. And we're very encouraged with what we're seeing. Probably not a huge amount more at this stage, I can say.
No, that's super. Thank you very much, Adrian. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. And our next question is from the line of Barry Dixon from Davy. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen, and congratulations on the deal. Two questions, if you wouldn't mind. Just in terms of the average price, if you take the $273 million of revenues, presumably you sold roughly 300,000 tons of corrugated and on a net basis, about 70,000 tons of containerboard. It implies, you know, if you put in a price of €450 a ton for containerboard, it implies a price of somewhere around €700 a ton for corrugated. I mean, is there scope to? Do you think that there's scope here to increase that corrugated price structurally over time, or are there reasons why prices in that part of the world might be lower? Second question is just really on technical things around what kind of funding cost, Adrian, should we assume in this, and also what kind of tax rate should we assume? Thank you.
Okay. So I'll take the second team, Mark.
Yeah, that's great. Barry, on the first one, we're seeing in our core business, our margins are growing. So it's obviously a very difficult time in Europe, but we're seeing we can continue to grow our margins quite successfully through more added value. And I've absolutely no doubt we can do that in Durapac. The average price for corrugated is lower than in the rest of Europe, not only because there's lower added value, but because the way it's is rewarded is paid for is slightly different. One thing which you've got to bear in mind is about the degree of integration here. And the degree of integration in this business is higher than we have in DS Smith. So again, just how you add in, how you price for the the paper in the turnover, and how it comes through into packaging, you know, would have to outline at a later stage. But in answer to your question, I've absolutely no doubt we can add value here. Our customers, I know the discussion's going on this morning, they'll be looking for exactly the same way that we work in the rest of Europe, and it's up to us to bring that out.
Okay.
On funding, Barry, on funding, Barry, if you at the moment assume, because we're going to be drawing out of existing facilities, if you just work with the blended funding costs that we've had to date, you're not going to be a million miles wrong. Clearly, we've deleveraged a bit, and this flip, we'll flip it back again as we go through next year. But in terms of what you currently got, it's going to be there or thereabouts. And similarly on tax, there's at the moment there's no reason to assume that it will tick up our overall tax rate. A number of the specific country rates will be slightly higher than our group rate, but there are some losses in the business as well that we'll be utilising. So at this stage, I'm not proposing any change to our guidance on tax.
So 24-25%, Adrian, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
23.
Okay.
Was what we guided at.
Yeah.
So I'm not seeing any change in that. Possibly three to 5 years down the road, there could be some change if that business grows and those relative country tax rates remain slightly higher. But at this stage, we don't see anything at all that will impact our overall tax charge.
Okay, and a blended interest rate of about 4% ish or thereabouts.
Yeah, exactly what I'd use.
Okay, perfect. Brilliant. Thanks a million, guys. Well done.
Thanks.
Thank you. And our next question is from the line of Justin Jordan from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys, and well done, obviously, on the acquisition. Can I just take a step back and just talk about the current trading element of the statement this morning? You talked, obviously, of the volume performance in the 3 months ending January being ahead of the 2.3% you achieved in the first half. Are we to infer that margins in the third Q3 were similarly ahead of the 8.9% operating margins that you achieved in the first 6 months? And secondly, can we just it's probably a geeky analyst question, but presumably you're going to be reporting Durapac within the Central Europe and Italy portion of the group going forward. And thirdly, can you just comment on the €40 a ton Tesla price increase that you've announced on the 1st of March? Just explain the sort of your confidence in achieving that and just the thinking behind that and the reaction that you've had from customers thus far.
Look, Adrian, if you'll take the reporting, just in terms of the margin, in the second half of the year, we typically have a lower margin than in the first half, and it's all to do with the build up for Christmas and the run and the basically all the harvest, etc., and the summer period, which is very busy for us. So the margins in the second half are traditionally below those in the first half. However, what we're seeing on a comparative period, if we go back to the previous year, then our margins are doing better. There's and the higher volumes, obviously, we get some operational leverage coming through this. That's really a lot behind what Adrian was saying about the currency. You know, the underlying trading is going well. The €40 we've announced, this is partly the other side of this FX. The euro has weakened considerably against other currencies, and therefore the cost of imported paper is rising, and of course the price of our exported paper has been falling. So these FX movements have given some support into the paper price, and I have to say, you can see from our volumes, our mills are busy. We are we're busy on paper, so all of that has gone to support the increase that we've announced.
On the segment, Justin, I think the question was, will it be in Central and Eastern Europe and Italy? And the answer is yes.
Okay. Just a very brief follow-up to that. Sorry, just that your existing operations in you talked about having businesses currently in the region, as it were. What are the revenues that you currently have in Austria, Czech, and Hungary for DL Smith Group, just to put some of the immediate synergies into context?
As far as I'm aware, Justin, we don't separately disclose those, but they're not going to be huge.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. And our next question is from the line of Harry Phillips from Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. A couple of questions, please. Just in terms of, you already mentioned in passing Greece and Turkey, if you could maybe just provide an update of how that process is going. Just looking elsewhere at your map, sort of Romania would strike me as being the next sort of obvious place to go. Is there anything maybe more underpack size that could be on the horizon? And then just lastly, on the debt structure, I see there's $7 million of interest in the acquisition. So is this sort of circa 130 and then 170 odd million of debt in the business, or am I getting that math quite wrong? I suppose what I'm trying to ask is how much debt is in the business at the current time.
Okay. So again, if I take the first two and you'll pick up on the interest agent and the debt. So Turkey and Greece, as you know, we already own part of that business, and we've been going through all the due diligence work, and that's well advanced. There's always discussion about value and what these businesses are worth, but that's coming along quite nicely. We haven't assumed any benefit from tying up that business with Durapac because we don't own it yet. But the discussions are going well. You mentioned about Romania. We already have a business in Romania, in Timișoara. The Romanian market is it's a reasonable market. There are some opportunities there, but there's nothing that's active. We've already got a good position there. If things come up, we'll have a look at them, but they're not of they aren't of any great size or significance. Adrian?
Yeah, on the debt side, Harry, I mean, when we look at an acquisition, we'll look at what the debt that's currently got interest charged on it, and there'll be a stack of items that we also consider debt or debt-like. When we're looking at this, it's roughly two-thirds of it, two-thirds of the enterprise value are debt or debt-like, and a third is equity value, roughly. However, clearly we're going to have to finance the whole thing. So whatever is currently interest-bearing, we will refinance. And so, the easiest way to look at it, and the way we certainly, as simplistic folk, will look at it, is that we're going to refinance the whole 300 at our marginal debt costs at the moment, or at our blended debt costs, rather.
Fantastic. That's very helpful.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please be reminded, if you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad now. And another reminder, if you would like to ask a question on today's call.
Okay, look, it's Miles here. If there's nothing else, can I wrap up?
Of course.
Great. Well, look, thank you, everybody, for your time this morning on the call. A couple of things. We're obviously delighted to have announced this proposed acquisition. We've had good access to the business. The synergies are good. The team that we have to integrate this is the team that's done the other work, and all of that gives us real confidence that we can make this acquisition really very, very exciting. And aligned to that, we see the continued growth of our on current trading. The volumes are going well. Get the benefits from that. But obviously, we are very mindful of the foreign currency translation effects that are playing out. But with that, thank you very much, everybody, for your time.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now replace your handset.
Or a customer services representative. Hold the line for the conference host to join the conference.